In our show today, Bob and I do a huddle with professional triathlete and world champion and all-around super nice guy, Timothy O'Donnell, also known as T.O. So if you don't know Tim, well, he's one of the world's most successful and experienced American long course triathletes. In 2019, he finished second at the Ironman World Championships in Kona, but prior to that, he's had over 50 podium finishes and victories at countless half Ironman, Ironman, and Armed Forces National Championship races all over the world. So we get to talk about his triathlon career, including how Bob and T.O. met early on in Tim's racing career. We, of course, ask about Tim's nutrition journey and how things have evolved with his daily nutrition, race nutrition, family life, and even how Rennie played a role in some of that journey. Tim also so kindly shares his story of his heart attack in March of 2021 that actually happened during the Challenge Miami race and how his recovery process has been since then. Gosh, we're so thankful Tim survived that scary episode and he's coming back strong, y'all, so we can't wait to see him race again. And a quick side note, we recorded this episode in January 2022. So in our recording, Tim mentions getting ready for the couples championship with Rennie, which was on March 6th. So if you want to learn more about that very unique race and the results, you can head over to couplschampionship.com. And if you want to follow Tim T.O. on social, you can find him everywhere at T-O-N-Tri. And you can also learn more about his new age group triathlon coaching and community program, Waterfall Racing, waterfallracing.com. So enjoy this episode 16 with the amazing and awesome Timothy O'Donnell on the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast. My name is Bob Sibahar with my co-host, Dina Griffin. Today is an extremely special day. I'm super, super excited. I've been waiting for this one for many, many months to welcome our special guest, Tim O'Donnell. Tim, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bob. Great to chat with you. It's been a long time, but I'm glad we're back together.
It's awesome. I was actually thinking about this, Tim, and it was I was a sport dietitian at the USOC from 2006 to 2008. And I remember meeting you in 07 and like, it was the highlight of my career, really. I mean, just working with you guys and just a high caliber, but I remember one of our talks in my office, you know, we talked about nutrition, all this stuff. And I just remember, I don't know why I still remember this almost after 15 years, but I remember us talking, you're like, man, I don't know why we got on this topic, but you're like, this short course thing, it hurts, right? And we were talking about your run and you're like, man, it's just, how can these, like, what is going on? And I remember that's the first time I heard out of your mouth, maybe I should look into long course. And I just always remember that conversation because now look at where you are now, right? I mean, that was 15 years ago and you've arguably probably the best American long distance triathlete. And let me just say that, like you are the best American long distance.
I need to bring you on the road with me as a hype man.
I know, right? Well, yeah, it's cool because not a lot of people know your background with short course and ITU, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, because you know, my ITU career wasn't that great.
So yeah.
Well, it was easily forgotten.
It was short. I mean, you had some national champs with when you were in the Navy at the Naval yep. Academy, right? But I think it was so short lived, right? But good for you for knowing that, hey, I'm going to try this long course thing. Cause I think as we're seeing year after year after year, that, you know, I think certain bodies are predisposed either for that short or long. And sure, you can train one or the other, but sometimes you can't really excel one or the other, right?
And I think I always knew who I was. You know, at the time, you're young, might as well, you know, go for, you know, the Olympic dream when you're young. Yeah. And your body is, you know, even if you're not cut out for it, it's your best chance to succeed at it.
Yeah.
So I definitely, you know, I really, really developed as an athlete when I was in the Olympic program and on the national teams. And, you know, crazy enough, it was actually, it was, you know, 09 where I really actually started to race well at ITU.
Yes.
But at the same time, I won, you know, my first 70.3s.
Yep.
And it was honestly a business decision. I just had this feeling that I, you know, well, I weighed two things. You know, I actually started to really run well in 09, like all those years of training on the national team.
Yep.
Didn't translate on race day. I was doing it in training. I was running with the boys.
Yep.
I just wasn't doing it on race day. It finally clicked. But then, you know, I said to myself, okay, maybe I have a shot at the U.S. Olympic team. And I think in 2012, I could have been, you know, a legitimate contender for one of those spots.
Yep.
But I also knew I wasn't medal material. If I made the team, that would be it. And that's cool.
Right.
But I had a hunch that I could be a medal contender at Ironman racing and at the Ironman World Championship. So
what was that hunch? Like, what was that? Like, what clicked?
You know, there was never any click. It's just the way I've always been as an athlete training wise. You know, I was a distance swimmer growing up and, you know, when you're a kid and you're not good at, you know, the 50 free or any other strokes that put you in the distance lane, you know, you go in lane 8 and you exactly. just slog it out. And, but even I always, on the big sets, I always train so much better than everybody else. So, you know, if we're doing a set of 12, 400 IMs, you know, when I'm a kid or, you know, 12, 300s free on a crazy interval, that's when I was like really finding my groove.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I knew even in swimming that, you know, 1650, the longest, you know, race you'd swim in a pool.
Yep.
You know, if, you know, 16 minutes or whatever it is, it wasn't long enough.
Right.
And that just always stuck with me. And I'm glad I made that switch in 09 because
good for you for recognizing that too. I think a lot of athletes just try to trudge it out and they're like, and they beat themselves up about it. It's like, we do have a lot of different options here for sure. So I'm glad you took that route for sure. I think a lot of us are.
Thanks. And it's crazy because timing, you can never predict anything. It's like the market, you can't predict it. Yeah. But you know, I had a feeling, hey, you know, there's a lot of sponsor opportunity right now. There's not a lot of American guys in this long course racing. Let's move over now and kind of beat that rush. Cause typically at the end of an Olympic cycle, that's when you see everybody transfer. And then I knew there would be, you know, a lot more guys fighting for the same bone. You know?
Absolutely. You definitely got in at a good time.
So
such a cool journey.
Here we are.
I know.
I know. More to come. I was curious, Tim, since we talk a lot of sports nutrition and nutrition on this podcast, I wondered, in your transition from ITU to the longer course, with regard to even just your daily nutrition or things that you had to shift or learn to shift from daily nutrition or to support the longer training for long course triathlon, what things did you learn along the way or things that really stuck out in that whole journey?
Well, I think it was not just a journey transitioning from, you know, short course to long course, but it was a journey for me as an athlete and as just a person learning more. It's an education process. And I'm not going to lie, like when I started racing short course, I had no clue. I was young and I'm like, I'm going to race fast. I'm going to go to Denny's. I'm going to go to the Waffle House and I'm just going to like eat whatever because I'm young and I don't care. Yeah. And, you know, Bob was probably my first introduction to those next steps in terms of, hey, you're a professional athlete, you got to fine tune. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just training hard and putting more hours in training. Let's look at all these other aspects. So as I transitioned, I was starting to learn a lot more about that. And I think Bob, it was 09. It was right when I got into long course that we did that metabolic test.
Yep, it was actually April 1st, 2010. I had to look it up again.
Okay.
Yep.
and I remember my, you know, normally what your the lines cross, your carbohydrate versus, you know, fat burning.
Yep.
And I never was in fat burning.
You never were?
Oh, really? Nope.
I was just like, you know, put the fuel on the fire kind of guy.
Yeah. So which was very representative of a short course athlete, right?
Yeah. 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 And I could tell I would bonk on a lot of longer training sessions all the time. Or you're just like taking in gratuitous amounts of calories when on a long aerobic ride, you want to be working your metabolic system.
Yeah.
And honestly, my now wife, Marina Carfrey, was a big part of that too. We started dating at the end of 09 and I had never had an avocado before that.
I did not know what an avocado was.
Wow. So like good, healthy fats, things like that, you know, shifting from that carbohydrate focus, you know, she kind of helped me along with that and just cleaning up my diet, you know, like, all right, let's get some micronutrients in your fruit and, you know, food, let's have some spinach in your salad and things like that. So, that it all started to kind of come together around that 2010.
Okay. Did it, was it a bumpy road after that? Or did you kind of have it well, so like your nutrition plan was pretty well dialed for that early Ironman days?
No, Bob, it's been a work in progress. Okay. I'll tell you what, every time you think you figure something out, you realize there's more to uncover.
And absolutely.
And you want to, there's, I guess when you're training so much, you know, there's things you need to address, and this is not just nutrition, but, you know, position on your bike, things, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And it almost, it takes time for you to take that piece by piece. Right. Because if you did all that at once, you wouldn't have time to train.
Exactly.
Or when you do have the time, you just, you know, you're so mentally fried from those 6 hour rides that you just can't focus enough to get that other stuff done. So
exactly.
It definitely a process. I remember actually my first Ironman World Championship in 2011. I was the fittest I've ever been.
Yeah.
Now, I was underweight, the, you know, huge issue number one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had a goal of how many like carbs I wanted to do for carbo loading.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wasn't at the point where I really understood, hey, there's good carbs and there's bad carbs.
Yes.
And all those pastries that you just brought home to carbo, to quote unquote carbo load, not a good idea. And I remember the look of disgust on Rini's face when I had all that stuff in the pantry in Kona. And I ended up getting sick during the ride, you know, thrown up everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was my foray into the world championship was a DNF and trying to get off the bike before Rini came into T2.
Right. Right. Oh man. So I guess it would be safe to say that you have experienced GI distress before, but you did something about it, right? I mean, after that, what was that new light? What did you do?
Well, I definitely cut out a lot of the crap. And actually at that time too, I was having a lot of like foggy head issues and things like that. So I went and ran some tests with my doctor and he's like, well, you know, I think, you know, gluten sensitivity might be, you know, something that you're dealing with as well. Right. So that, you know, kind of just cutting back on that actually helped me, you know, switch to, hey, like potatoes, rice, things like that, natural gluten-free foods versus refined carbohydrates. And that's the thing. Once you start processing stuff, you just destroy the nutritional value, right?
Oh yeah.
And that was the kind of my next step. Okay, well, how can we, you know, get some of that stuff out? You know, out of the routine.
Were you thinking the same thing for your kind of onboard nutrition? So for the sport nutrition products that you were using, were you thinking, okay, I need to make a switch there too, or was it just kind of focusing on the daily nutrition changes?
I did in training, definitely to an extent. We started doing like the rice bars with, you know, some dark chocolate in it, or like egg and bacon ones.
Okay.
For those long rides. But you know, at the end of, you know, I've never gone to the point where I'm putting like honey in my water bottle and, you know, I'm still using some, you know, just some, you know, carbohydrate drink and things like that. When the efforts really get hard.
Right. Do you mind? Can we jump in that? Cause I know, I remember, I don't know what year it was at Kona, but I remember you used to be a Clif Bar athlete. Right. Yep. And I just remember, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, pretty cool. And I'm, you know, but then you switched into UCAN just a few years ago. Right. So I know a lot of our listeners, cause they follow Dean and I, they know what UCAN is, and obviously we'll put that in the show notes, but talk us through why that switch for you, you know, at that point in your career, why did you make that change in sport nutrition product?
Yeah. So that was, the end of 2018. Okay. And I've had some great results in Kona. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been on the podium, 15, and, you know, some other great finishes.
Yeah.
But I was always upset with the way I ran. I always seemed to kind of hit the wall like 10 miles into the run and just, I can never, you know, I've always prided myself on being a strong man and not like fading, but that last 10K where you really need to be tough in Kona, I never had it. And you know, I lost some podiums that way too. So, you know, my contract with Cliff was up and I had this chance to go find other nutrition products.
Okay.
And I sat back and I said, I'm not signing anything. I'm going to, you know, find what works for me. And if there's a deal with it, great, but I need to perform and I don't need to worry about, a contract at this point, because it's, you know, that's short-sighted. I need to look at the big picture.
Yeah.
So started testing a lot of stuff, and I had used UKen years before, but I didn't give it the proper, you know, respect it deserved. I didn't incorporate it into my daily nutrition and my training nutrition properly. Right. So, you know, I didn't move forward with it, but I knew you had been involved, and I started looking back into it, and I talked to, you know, Matt, who at the time was working at UKen, and talked to him about, okay, how do we use this? And I loved the idea about it. You know, that kind of linear release, sustained, super starch, you know, no crash, you know, peaks and crashes, things like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. I'm going to give this a shot. And I incorporated it into my training, and I'm like, man, this is legit. You know, I can go do a 6-hour ride, and the first 4-hour ride before we, you know, stop, I'm doing a scoop and a half or two scoops
for
4 hours. And, you know, I'm training high end aerobic.
At that point.
So I was really excited. And then, so I incorporated, you know, into Kona, in 2019 and into the whole race here in 2019 when I started working with them.
Yeah. So pretty confident that is part of your, you know, I guess you would say, sport nutrition success. You know, I think we all have success markers in terms of nutrition and, you know, terms of finding products. But I also know, you know, since we visited for your first metabolic efficiency test, this was 2010, I know you've been back and you've done quite a few other tests. Have you, I'm curious, and I know our listeners will be, with that testing, you know, where you do get to see your metabolic efficiency point, your rate of utilization or oxidation or burning of fat and carbohydrate, did you use that data at all to help kind of tinker with either your daily nutrition or your on bike or, you know, running off the bike nutrition? Did you
definitely
use that at all?
I did a lot of that testing at CU, their sports medicine center.
Right.
And I'm proud to say, Bob, my fat burning is so much better.
You know,
this is legit, you know, this is like elite marathon, you know, like
good,
efficiency. Good. So they were super excited. Awesome. But what we really use is, okay, now we know, fat burning aside, we also know when you're really revving it, here's how much carbohydrates you're burning.
Exactly.
So for sure.
Now we can work with these numbers and, you know, do our best to try to replace what we can, you know, based off of this, you know, data and knowledge.
Yeah. And I think that's a key thing to bring out, because a lot of our listeners think, you know, metabolic efficiency testing is just, it's just giving you, if you cross between fat and carbohydrate burning, where is that? I mean, that's a piece of the puzzle, but more importantly, it's knowing how many carbohydrates are you actually burning? Like, are you kind of a hot burner? Like, do you go through your carb stores so quickly? Because it is about refueling at the rate at which your body needs, right? And I think that's what all that testing has helped you put together, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And in training too, right? You know, when you have a hard train, when I do my aerobic training session, I'm not, you know, worried about pounding calories, and I want to, you know, work on that fat burning side.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing really hard sessions, or when you're in big blocks, big training blocks where you need to be able to pop back for the next session, if you're not fueling properly during your training, you know, you're putting yourself at a deficit afterwards and then the next day. So when you have that knowledge of, you know, what you're burning and how you can replace it while you're training, it lends to consistent training, and consistency is how you win races.
Absolutely. And consistent recovery also, right? Cause you're able to bounce back pretty quickly. And I don't know if you, did you ever, like, qualitatively, did you ever feel like you recovered better? I know it's hard to
disentangle. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, probably. I mean, when you're in the moment, you just do it, like, you're recovered or not.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know you do take care of your body too. So that's you, in terms of recovery and everything, you know, just balancing life as a father and as a husband, professional athlete, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets harder. There's more, the more kids you have, Bob.
Yes, it does. Well, right now you and Rennie are man-to-man defense, right? I don't know if you'll ever go to zone defense or not, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe one day, but life is going to have to look a lot different.
Exactly.
Are you experimenting, Tim, with any other you know, nutrition, ergogenic aids, anything you can share? I know we had a brief exchange about ketone esters. So I was just curious if that's something that you're dabbling with. We don't want to give all your secrets away, of course, other things you're looking at.
No, that's a great question, because that's actually a secret that it's one of those things like, do you want to talk about it? Right.
Because
it really is powerful.
Yeah.
So I am working with Delta G, the ketone esters, and I actually used them in 2019. And that's when, you know, I think a lot of people are talking about it more than they were 3 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
But I incorporated in my training and then, you know, in my racing, particularly in Ironman World Championships. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing supplement. I'm trying to think about the best way to describe this is, you know, ketones have amazing benefits for not only metabolic efficiency, but, you know, also cognitive function. So when you're doing an Ironman, yes, you want to make sure you're using your fuel as efficiently as possible, but you need to make sure that your brain works, because it's all about being in that flow state, being in the zone, so to speak. And the more you can do that, the more you can focus on, you know, pedaling your bike properly and putting out the power you need, or you know, relaxing your shoulders and getting into that zone on the run. That's so important. Go ahead.
Decision making for your, because there's a lot, I don't think a lot of listeners understand at the professional level how much tactical decision making there really is at your level.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll go back to Kona 19, you know, when Jan made a decisive move around 90 miles or 92 miles around the cemetery. And I waited for Alistair Brownlee to come around me.
He didn't
want to go. So I made the decision. I'm on the front behind Jan. I'm like, no, you know what? Tactically, like, this is not my play right now. And then shortly after, Ali tried to jump up. He didn't make the bridge, but he blew up in the process. And, you know, 10 miles later, I flew by him. So, having that sharp mind is pretty important. But
I was just gonna say, is that part of your 2022 nutrition strategy also?
I'm gonna incorporate it a lot more in my day-to-day as well. So what we found is so Delta G is you know, they are the only patented ketone ester in the world. So there's some knockoffs, but it's not the real thing. And it's over decades of research from Oxford and DARPA. For all those, you know, super secret military research people. So you got some brilliant minds working on this aid. And, you know, I'm incorporating it into my morning routine.
And also,
you know, we haven't talked about it, but blood glucose monitoring is something I've been doing as well. I actually tinkered with that in 2017, just on my own. And now it's kind of becoming a thing, but, you know, the ketones kind of help you use the glucose that you consume, and that then is going to kind of smooth out any of those spikes that you might see. So, you know, I've had some health issues in the last year can dive into, but inflammation in my body is so important, not just for training and recovery, but for heart health. So inflammation fighting is like number one in my mind right now.
You know, if you could help our listeners understand how important that is, and let's take it back, because I know you're very vocal about this and especially trying to educate others. But, you know, last March, obviously you had one of the most tremendous health scares ever that anybody could have with your heart attack. And that was during a race, right? So can you walk, I mean, you don't have to tell the whole story, because I'm sure most of our listeners have watched your YouTube videos and all of your interviews I mean, take us through that, like anything that you want to share. And obviously we'll get into the nutrition part of it, you know, after that, but I mean, that's a big life event and, you know, especially for you and obviously Rennie and the kiddos, but how was that for you?
Yeah, it was it was a roller coaster of a year last year for sure. Yeah. And leading into Challenge Miami, I had actually been having issues for almost a year prior. And I thought maybe it was COVID related. You know, we got back from Australia like the beginning of February in 2020.
Yeah.
And COVID was a thing people were talking about over there because their proximity to China way before they were in the US.
Yeah.
So we had been hearing about it all January. And then, you know, we get into customs and I think it was either San Fran or LA, I can't remember. And, you know, there's a lot of flights from Asia coming over and you're in this big box and you just hear people hacking everywhere. And Rennie and I just looked at each other like, oh my gosh.
Oh no.
But yeah, from February, late February on, I've been having breathing issues and had a lot of problems, and I had gone to cardiologist at the end of 2020 and run some tests, and everything seemed okay. But yeah, things just really escalated in March at Challenge Miami, and I started getting the chest pains while I was riding the bike, and shooting left arm pains, lockjaw.
Which is crazy. You're like probably putting out, what, 320 watts, and here you are having these symptoms, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was at the front of the race first, you know, a couple of guys and on one of the most stacked fields last year. And, and I'm like, is this a heart attack? I'm like, no, there's no way I'm pushing that watts.
Going through your head.
And actually that thought popped in my mind.
Wow.
But okay. I've been, you know, going back, goes back to that Kona 2011 that we talked about, where I dropped out. Since then, I'm like, you know what, unless you're going to die, you do not drop out. It turns out I need to at least listen to that advice. Like, okay, absolutely. I might've died, so maybe I should have pulled out.
Right. Well, and this wasn't happenstance either. I think you and I probably share a lot of genetic, you know, unfortunately we're not dealt a lot of the great genetic cards, I call them. Right. And I think, you know, I've got family history of heart disease and heart attack and all that stuff. And I think it's, we have to manage our life. I mean, you're a professional athlete, for goodness sake. Right. I mean, the message is so powerful for everybody, but this honestly can happen to anyone, right? But, you know, looking at all the signs and the symptoms, uber healthy, you've talked to cardiologists before. I mean, did they say it was that event that pushed it over because the increased blood flow through the heart? Like, did they mention any of that?
Well, I did. I had so it was a soft plaque rupture. So I had soft plaque in the LAD, the particular artery. And it turns out that artery tends to, a lot of male endurance athletes have issues with that artery because of the blood flow at that point. It's like the highest in the heart. Right. So it can kind of weaken that interior wall of the artery.
Right.
And then if you're genetically predisposed to plaque issues, like I am from family history, that kind of combination, it's just like the perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay. You have this genetic disposition and, you know, what you're doing is really, you know, compromising that artery wall. So that's the kind of the two factors that brought into it.
You ever had testing before that? Like any stress test? I know you've been, you know, you're going testing, but Okay. But nothing was
even
really
in the Navy, like just, you know, you're always getting, you know, echocardiograms, things like that. So, there was no warning signs really. I did have a plaque scan in 2020, like the end of 2020. And it did show calcified plaque in the LAD and no other artery, but it wasn't that much. So no one was really concerned because there wasn't anything else going on, so to speak. Yeah. But where there's calcified plaque, there's always soft plaque.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Oh boy, man.
Well, the good thing is from training, you know, a 40-year-old is less likely to survive that incident than a 70-year-old because you get these ancillary vessels that pop off the artery.
Yeah.
But through all my training over the years, I developed those a little more quickly. So,
thank goodness,
you know, the sport did contribute to keeping me going.
Extra protection. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How has your recovery been? And did you do formal cardiac rehab like anyone else would, or what was that process like?
I did. Yeah. I set out to find all the best doctors I could. One of the local doctors recommended that I go to Boulder Community Hospital and do cardiac rehab. And I'm like, what am I going to get from, from cardiac rehab? So the normal cardiac rehab, I had to be 30 years younger than the average other patient in my rehab class. Sure. And I graduated a little bit early, but you know, normally they do 20 minutes of cardio, 20 minutes of strength, and then 20 minutes of education. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you know what? The only way we're going to find out anything good on you is if you just go come in here and train for an hour and train hard. And, and it was great for me. And, you know, I'm grateful I did it. In the doc at the time said, hey, it's just for peace of mind. And after going through it, I realized what he meant. And, I started pushing my heart rate up to 180. And I just wouldn't have been comfortable doing that if I wasn't in a supervised setting.
Yeah. Cause they were monitoring you, like looking, they had the EKG on you and the blood
pressure. They had everything hooked up. Yep. And they have to be within so many hundred feet of the ER as well.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Did they have to get a special treadmill for you, or did you have to have some special equipment due to your differences and
we went in. Actually, my coach Julie Dibbins, you know, God bless her, came in with me for the initial consult, and we were checking out the equipment, and she started hitting the treadmill, and it only went up to like 7.5 miles an hour. She's like, and she said to the nurse, "Can he bring his bike and trainer in with him?" And they said, "Sure." So here I come in with my bike and my, you know, fancy trainer, and you know, and all my fellow classmates are just kind of scratching their heads, saying, who's this young guy huffing and puffing over in the corner?
So funny. What about nutritionally? Have you shifted anything significant since that time, or your cardiac rehab that you can share in your daily?
I have. In all honesty, when it happened, I'm like, oh, great, I got to go vegan now. You know, that was like the first thing that popped into my mind. So I was fully expecting all the doctors to be like, oh, yep, got to, you know, cut out all dairy products and meats and everything. And I was surprised. You know, I saw one of the best, naturopaths with a cardiology focus. I saw, standard cardiologists, internal medicine, you know, I saw sports cardiologists and functional cardiologists, and no one said go vegan. They're all like, you need good quality protein.
Awesome.
Dr. Bagish at Mass General, who's like one of the premier sports cardiologists in the world, he says, if you really want to be smart, cut out mammal meat. So if it flies or it swims, go for it. Anything else will cause inflammation. So I've been kind of incorporating that a little bit more into our routine. And Rennie's like ready to kill me, because I'm always like, well, let's you know, the steak nights are kind of not happening too much, right?
it's funny, because when you talk about husband and wives, because we went through this, and Dean, I'm sure you and your husband did this also, but sometimes you adopt each other's habits and sometimes you don't, right? So has Rennie kind of jumped on board with some of your nutrition changes, or not so much?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. She used to do like a beef bolognese dinner, and now that's turkey bolognese.
Okay.
but, you know, meat aside, the other thing I really learned is just sugar, right? Like particularly refined sugar. It causes inflammation, and inflammation doesn't discriminate. You know, it includes inflammation in your heart or your arteries. And so being smart about that. And like I said, with the blood glucose monitor, paying attention to those spikes, you know, when you get up, you know, particularly over 140, you know, even 120, that's when you really induce inflammation. And good friend of mine, former heart surgeon, gave me that advice. And it's been a good important part of my kind of nutrition post.
Yeah, that's a solid piece of advice for all of our listeners. And Tim, I want to loop back into the glucose really quick, because I remember one of the videos I was watching when you were getting tested at Mass General. You know, and Dean and I are keen to this. I had the luxury of trying a CGM out for about a month, but I did notice that you were wearing one. So do you continue to wear a continuous glucose monitor, or are you pricking your finger to test it? Like how is that?
I've relied on the continuous glucose. And I know the readings can be a little bit off, but from what I understand, at least you get consistent within that, you know, system.
Right.
So you can still get the trends that you're trying to discover.
Absolutely. Does that help shape your daily nutrition? Cause I know when I wore it, I mean, I experimented so much, cause I was like a kid at Christmas. I'm like, God, this is so cool. Yeah. But I would eat different things, and then, you know, scan it and see what was happening. And then I'd eat something different. And like, my wife was going crazy. She's like, would you just stop doing that? But, you know, did that help you, I guess, shape different behaviors for your daily nutrition?
It is right now. And I've gone through some different platforms to use, and trying to figure out the best, you know, platform or app to use. But you know, you're learning like, okay, well, how do you time meals before training?
Right.
And you know, where do you want to be? Because, you know, a lot of times you eat, you get a spike, you know, doesn't matter how high it is, but it's going to come down. Right.
Yeah.
And then like, you don't want to be hitting a workout when you're on that down,
right?
Kind of that down slope of, your glucose level. So, you know, learning that. And then even like, in January, I go off of coffee. So I've been drinking just matcha.
No kidding.
Wow. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see, like, how does oat milk and matcha in the morning versus, you know, whole milk and matcha in the morning working. What if we throw some honey in there? Like, what's that going to do?
Right. Why did you make that switch? Why did you kind of eliminate coffee from the plan?
I do that every month just to know that I'm not addicted.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, our camera guy, Kenny Withrow, who does all of our content creation. He's a huge matcha guy. So last year he's like, hey man, and his, he has a friend who's a naturopath and like, you should probably like try some matcha instead of coffee and it's just a little healthier antioxidants and it doesn't give you that kind of like caffeine rush.
Exactly. Yeah. I kind of cycle through coffee, matcha, yerba mate, green tea.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of, again, it kind of gives you a little more variety too, but it kind of keeps the spice of life going because it's a different hot beverage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's more about the ritual, right, Bob? Like you just want like, you know, matcha, you put matcha or coffee, you know, replace it, but it's that ritual and having that routine.
Yeah. I remember this because I've only been literally a hot beverage drinker in the morning for a few years now. And my wife has been for a very long time. And I was always so puzzled. I'm like, why are you drinking coffee? And she's like, and she said exactly what you said. She's like, it's the ritual. It's about having a hot beverage and going through that process. And I never understood it until I started with tea. I'm like, okay, let's just make some tea. And then you get it right away. You're like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, Rennie has never had coffee, doesn't drink it.
Wow.
I don't know how she's trained all the hours. Yeah. She's trained without a sip of coffee, but she's into matcha now. So she'll join me for a matcha latte.
Okay. Yeah.
I bet that's cool though, to have your glucose data and even experimenting with the ketone esters and then how you've modified your nutrition since last year and then incorporating training, like having that data, which I know can sometimes be overwhelming, but at least then getting that feedback so that you can adjust things as you go further into this year and kind of, you know, that further fine tuning.
Absolutely. And, you know, not just with training, like I said, you know, that kind of daily or like just your regular daily nutrition is, you know, kind of been heightened in my awareness right now. And my next step, I mentioned like, okay, you know, oat milk first, regular milk, matcha. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, let's throw some ketones into that mix and, you know, see where we go from there or just, you know, in your daily routine.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh, neat. What's coming up this year? I mean, we kind of know a few things, but 2022, what's your, as far as competitions, and I know you have your hands in some other projects, but what about races and your calendar this year?
Yeah. Well, I've been cleared to race, by my cardiologist. So I'm excited to hit the start line again. And honestly, I don't know what it's going to look like. I know I'm going to train and prepare to win a world championship.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what, you know, my body and everything has now, but, and if I can do that preparation and know I put my best foot forward, I'm going to be pretty excited. So with that in mind, everything's geared towards, the Ironman World Championship in October in Hawaii. The 2021 championship will be held in May in St. George, but I need to get some races under my belt before to a world championship field. But well, I'm starting the year off in March with, Rennie at the couples championship in, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Awesome.
It's a brand new race. It's a double sprint. So we'll each do two sprints as a relay.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to race some of the young ITU couples.
Oh,
there's a $100,000 prize purse for the winning team.
I've heard about this.
Sounds it's going to be fun. Just a fun weekend. And, you know, honestly, we're probably twice the age of the average team right now in the couples race, the couples championship, but
twice the experience.
Smart. Yeah,
exactly. Experience, yep. Yeah.
I think you can only let the engine go so far, right? There's a lot of smarts upstairs that we have to rely on also.
Yep. That's what we're banking on.
Yeah. And Tim, you also, so this new project you have, right? Waterfall Racing. So you have been part of creating this racing team, which is super cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Rennie and I have always wanted to kind of have our people, have our tribe, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we've just never been able to do it. We haven't had the bandwidth to get a proper racing team together while we're still, you know, racing at this level. So we teamed up with our friends at Waterfall Bank and Ben Atkins, a really good friend of ours, and we've created Waterfall Racing. So it's, you know, our age group team, along with some of our favorite other professionals, Justin and Jeannie Metzler, you know, Andre Lopez, Rachel Olson. And the goal is to really just create an awesome network around the country with some local chapters and some, you know, get-togethers, post-race get-togethers, some workouts together and through your local chapters, online interactions, Facebook Live, and things like that. And we just want to build a fun community. And Rennie and I are about lifestyle, and we've always been about lifestyle, even when we're racing at our best. We don't want to define who we are by our race results.
Right.
And we wanted to have an age group team that kind of has that same mindset. Hey, you know what? Triathlon should enhance your life. It, it should enhance your family's life too. It should be something that the whole family can have a part in and enjoy and find, you know, healthy lifestyle aspects that fit your family's routine. So
yeah,
we're excited to launch.
I love that. And it is, I looked at the website. It's nationwide. I thought I saw some international ones, but what I found super cool is like, there are, I think they're called team captains and coaches. So like, I love the model because you are truly going to bring a lot of people together, not just like a normal club that, hey, I might show up for a workout or two. Right. But this is really kind of enveloping. I like to use the word family, right. Cause it's kind of enveloping these little, well, probably bigger families around really the world. And I love that to death. Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to put it with family, Bob. And, you know, our logistics guys, he's getting worried because, you know, like more chapters, more work, but
I saw all
but
of
we
them.
Want
like,
something special like that, right? We need something different and something that really engages, you know, people on a local level as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when they go to a big race, when they go to Kona, they know they're going to be hanging out with us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Super cool. Cause then you have that support, that positive support system, which we always tell athletes, especially at races, you need that, right? It's not N of one at a race. It really is. It takes a village, you know, to raise kids, but it also takes a village to just help us along in life and our different experiences, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And some of my favorite race experiences now that I'm older and wiser, were Ironmans that I completely bombed.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I've walked some Ironmans because you go for it and it doesn't turn out right.
Right.
But
right.
The encouragement I would get from my fellow age group racers who were literally running by me while I walked.
Yeah.
Was crazy. And then it's not until those points where as a professional, you realize, hey, we're all in this together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just curious before we start finishing up here, Tim, as a father myself, and you're not a new father anymore, but Finn came along a year and a half ago, but how has fatherhood been for you?
It's been a blast. Yeah. It's been hard. And, you know, when we just had Izzy, it's as dads, and this is kind of a stereotype, but, you know, it's probably true for most dads.
Yeah.
Like when there's just one, like the mom is usually your point person, right?
Yeah.
And Rennie and I joke, like once we had Finn, it's like, all right, T.O., you got to come off the bench. You're in, buddy. It's man on man defense.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so true. I mean, it is so true. But I think from everything that I've heard and read, I mean, it seems like you and Rennie balance that really well with your careers also. And then that's a tricky one. I don't think it matters the career, but you guys, I mean, I would probably say because, you know, you guys aren't sitting at a desk all day, like you've got to be. I mean, being a parent is already fatiguing, but adding on to that hours and hours and hours of training, which is your career. I mean, I'm sure there's been nights where you're just like, who's going to go to sleep last or first, and who's going to get the kids when they wake up, right?
It is a constant battle. And it's our, they all want mom, right? And, I can, you know, so it's hard, you know, I need to come in.
Right.
I have to fight the battle that I'm not mom. And
exactly.
Still get the job done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Rennie's elbowing you in bed. Honey,
yep. She's like, nope, you got this one.
I love it. Well, are there any things that we haven't talked about that you want to add or anything value to our listeners before we finish up with our high five questions?
Yeah. Encourage you, if you want to learn more about ketone esters, to head to deltagketones.com. You can actually schedule a one-on-one consultation with one of their experts, and they'll fill you in on everything that you need to know. And you can get 10% off with the code InsideSports.
Perfect. And we will put that in our show notes. So we'll actually put a lot about Tio in the show notes and where to find all of these things that we talked about today. Dina, you want to kick us off with the high fives?
Yes. And thanks, Tim. It's been so fun to hear more about your recent years and just excited for your future and next steps. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
But okay. So our high five questions, we'll just roll through these. So number one, what's your go-to breakfast?
Go-to breakfast, Yucan bar.
Oh, what flavor?
Yeah. I go between the berry. Yeah, berry is probably, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's my fave too.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Second one, what's one key health habit that you practice every single day?
Okay. This, I don't know, this may sound weird or not, but flossing is so important.
Look at that. Yeah.
Your gum health, it can cause so many other problems in your body with bacteria. You got to floss every day.
Amazing.
Yeah. And inflammation, right? I mean, seriously.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Heart health, everything.
Wow.
Mm. Okay. Hilly or flat course?
Hilly bike, flat run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can I say that? Is that a route?
Absolutely. You are a triathlete. Yes. We could have added in there ocean swim, lake swim, river swim, right?
Oh yeah. Lake swim, 100% lake swim, warm water lake swim, no wetsuits, no current.
Which is really weird considering you were in the Navy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
wetsuits, you know, it evens the playing field too much.
It does.
Non-swimmers.
Agreed. Okay. Fourth one. What's your favorite form of entertainment to watch or listen to during a long indoor training session?
Oh, I used to just watch Foo Fighters concerts constantly. Oh, wow. But now I'll get into a lighthearted shows. Uh-huh. Like Ted Lasso, that's a good one to watch.
One of my favorites. Yeah. For many reasons.
Okay, the last question, Tim. If you had one piece of advice to give to all athletes, what would that one piece of advice be?
Oh man, I have to narrow it down to just one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I would say establish your support around you, whether it's a coach or a master swim group or just someone you train with. Just establish something around you that keeps you motivated and keeps you on task and helps you avoid burning out.
Yeah. So important, isn't it? Because I think in any sport, you can get that burnout pretty quickly and pretty easily without it. Yep.
That's great.
Well, Tim, Tio, Mr. Donald, Timothy, I am just overwhelmed. I'm so excited that you agreed to be on our podcast because, like I said, we go back way back. So it's so nice to catch up with you and just see how you're doing. And so great that, fatherhood and being a husband, it's just been so great for you. And obviously the return to racing, we can't wait to follow you this year. But I think a lot of golden nuggets you've shared with us from a health perspective. Mm-hmm. So we definitely appreciate that, from heart health, inflammation, sugar. So thank you so much for filling our knowledge buckets up for sure. We will, like I said, be sure to put everything in the show notes so our listeners can find you and all of the great things we talked about today. But again, from Dina and I, thank you wholeheartedly for taking a few minutes out of your day today.
Oh, thank you, Bob and Dina. It's been a ton of fun. And Bob, over a decade later, we're 15 years later, we're still chatting about the sport. And
it's amazing.
I hope it's always like that.
I'm glad we are, right?
It's a good thing.
I see at least another 10 or 15, right? I don't know about you.
Keep it going.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for listening, tuning into Inside Sports Nutrition. We will hear you, or not really see you, but catch you on our next podcast.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our Huddle episode 16 with Timothy O'Donnell. Check out the show notes for the items that Tim mentioned, his waterfall racing coaching program, which is actually worldwide. It's pretty cool. So if you're an age group triathlete looking for community and some expert coaching and so much more, you'll want to check out Waterfall Racing. And that is such a cool offering. So thank you, Tim, for sharing some time. I told y'all he was so nice, and we're so lucky to have him as a neighbor here in Boulder, Colorado. stay tuned for episode 17 coming up next Wednesday when we're doing a huddle with Andy Blow of the Precision Fuel and Hydration Company. We're going to talk about sweat and fluids and sweat rate, sweat sodium, hydration strategies. You won't want to miss that one. Bob and I have said many times before already that hydration and strategies around hydration really is an undervalued aspect of an athlete's training plan. So we want y'all to get in the know. So stay tuned for that episode. If you've got a sports nutrition question that's going on in your mind, then email us over at hello@insidesportsnutrition.com. Be sure to include your full name, where you're listening in from, and what your question is. We're queuing all of your questions up for a future episode and then some. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd also love your support in promoting our podcast. So if you find our information beneficial and the strategies and discussions helpful to you in improving your health and performance, giving you new ideas, or just for entertainment, well then, give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you subscribe, share it on social. We would really love your support. And it does help us share our content with other listeners around the world. If you'd like more information about the offerings that Bob and I provide, including nutrition coaching and the physiological and biomarker testing, you can find Bob over at energyperformance.com. That's energyperformance.com. Or myself, Dina, at nutritionmechanic.com. Give us a visit, get on our newsletters. We would love to have your support there as well. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the hosts and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.